Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here, and welcome to another very exciting tutorial. Today, we're going to be taking a look at creating an underwater scene with a submarine, a depth charge, an underwater explosion, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But the truth is, there is really no point to this tutorial. Nobody is ever going to work on a submarine movie. You know it. And I know it. In fact, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning or actually working on a submarine movie. Well, anyway, never mind. The point is, this tutorial isn't about an underwater explosion, but we're going to focus on the idea through the execution of this particular scene. Now, here's what we're going to be creating. And you can see a lot of interesting things happening. You have these depth charges, you have this big explosion. And you have the warping of the water right here. You can kind of see that it warps as the explosion goes off. And then we have sort of an implosion as the explosion squeezes down and a little bit of debris left over. So there's a lot going on. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, the first thing I did was I did some research. I watched a lot of movies, U-571, Hunt for Red October, and even Air Force One. Not that it's a submarine movie, but it's got Harrison Ford in it, and, you know, these guys hijack the President of the United States airplane. I mean, it's, wow, very exciting. And the end scene, when the airplane goes into the water, well, that actually looked worse than this scene. Anyway, let's move on. What an unpredictable movie. Now, if you are looking to do some research yourself, I would recommend checking out this movie called Depth Charge. And it's got some big stars here. And frankly, it looks amazing. I mean, if we just look at the poster, first we have this great looking sub, apparently a deadly weapon, a high profile target, helicopters, looks like a destroyer that's been exploded. I mean, I haven't seen it. I couldn't recommend it, but I recommend this movie. Now, let's move on to the actual scene. We're going to create this underwater explosion. So we're going to be using a few clips from the Action Essentials collection. And it basically explodes, kind of bulges out, and then twists down and implodes. So let's go and get started. I'm going to create a new composition, and we'll make it square, about 720 by 720. And we'll make it like 300 frames long. And we'll call this charge. And we'll hit OK. Okay, so we want to create an underwater explosion. And we're going to be using the Action Essentials 2 collection, which you can find at videocopilot.net. We're going to be using the 720p resolution, which is 1280 by 720. And the 2K is also available at 2048 by 1152. So it's basically a collection of action stock footage and things that you can use to composite. So in this case, there isn't an underwater explosion element, but we're going to be using a few of the elements to recreate one. So what I have here is charge number 14, which is this small little charge. And then we have explosion number 1, which is a much larger ground explosion. So the idea is to combine these elements together to create a more spherical, underwater-looking explosion. So, let's see what we can do. First, we have our explosion charge, the smaller one. And I'm going to center it up here. And I'm also going to scale it up. We want it to be a bit bigger. Now, there's a bunch of residual kind of sparks and things, so I want to get rid of that. I'm going to come over here to the mask tool. We're going to use the ellipse. And just draw a shape around the middle. Hold down Control and Shift, and you can make it nice and round, and we'll feather the edges just a bit. So that way we just keep the sparks inside that area. Now, we have explosion number 1 as well, which is really big, but if we hit S, we can scale it down a touch. Now, the one problem with this clip for an underwater explosion is you can actually see the ground. And what we're going to have to do is mask that out. So again, we'll take the pen tool and we'll just draw a quick shape here. And we'll select that part we want to cut off, hit M, and we'll set it to subtract. And then we'll hit F, that brings up the feathering option, and we'll just feather it just a touch. Now the other thing I want to do is duplicate the clip. So we'll choose Edit, Duplicate. And then I'll, let's say, we'll just grab it, we'll flip it over, and we'll rotate it. Let's see, we'll rotate it this way. And what I want to do is just use it as a replacement for this bottom area. So if I move this part down, instead of having a perfectly smooth edge, now we'll have a nice rugged kind of fiery edge. So this should work pretty good. Then again, we'll take another mask and we'll mask out the top of it. Hit M and we'll set this to subtract, and then we'll feather the edge of this as well. So we want to just replace that bottom part, something like that. Maybe we'll scale this down. So that looks pretty good. It's a much more natural looking round explosion. Now, the other thing we need to do is we need to sync it up so that we see the beginning of the first explosion, because this looks a little bit more like a depth charge that comes from a, you know, a single point. So what I want to do is about this time, I want to start fading in our big explosions. So if we slide these over to about here where it's nice and fiery, what we'll do is we'll actually hit T and we'll fade them in. So we'll go back a couple of frames, page up, page down, and we'll set the opacity to zero. So basically faded them in, and we're gonna hopefully be able to blend this a little bit nicer. So first thing I would say we need to do is scale them down so we get a more natural looking size. But I'm gonna use a null object to help us out. So we'll create a null object. So we'll call this explosion, and we'll take the first top two explosions and we'll parent them to that clip. So that explosion null object will now allow us to move both of the clips around at the same time. And we can also scale them down. So if we hold down shift, we can actually scale them down. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna animate the scale. So we'll hit T. So that's when it fades in, about right there. So I'm gonna set a keyframe for the scale, and then I'm gonna move back in time here, and I'm gonna scale down the two explosions. So essentially, they're gonna be, I'll solo them there. They're gonna start smaller and get larger. So maybe we'll set this down a little bit further, 35, and we'll hit F9 on the scale here. Then if we turn on the motion blur, we might actually be onto something. So let's just take a quick look at where we're at right now. And that looks pretty good. I think that's a good start. All right, the next thing we'll do is pre-compose these elements. So we'll hold down shift, select them, and we'll choose layer pre-compose. And that'll basically combine them into a single comp. So we'll just call this explode comp, and we'll hit okay. Comp. Anyway, close enough. What I want to do is create another null object. We've got this new null object. I'm going to take our explode comp and parent it to that null. And then we're going to hit S, and we're going to set a keyframe for the scale at about the time when the explosion finishes. So we'll set a keyframe, and then we'll move forward here, and we're going to scale this down. So remember, when the explosion goes off underwater, it pushes the water away, and then all of the pressure of the water then implodes back on the space that was created. So that's why we get this force that actually comes from outside of the explosion. So we want the explosion to then shrink down just like that. And then in addition to that, just for fun, we're going to rotate it as well. So if we just give it a little bit of a rotation, it's kind of interesting what it does. It just kind of looks like it sucks itself down. Now, we want this to be a little more gradual, so hit F9. And maybe not so much rotation. And let's also scale it back up just a little bit. We don't want it to get too small. So we'll select those two keyframes, hit F9, so it's a nice, easy ease. Now, the other thing here is the explosion lingers for a little bit longer. Now, I wonder if it would actually look better if it didn't linger as long, or if it dissipated quicker. So what if we double-clicked on this, took our two explosion comps, right-click, choose time, enable time remapping. And then what we can do is take the last two keyframes here. And before we do that, let's lock the timing of this point by adding a keyframe to the very first frame there. Then we'll take the last two keyframes and move them over. So what we're doing is taking the full length of the clip and shrinking it down to a shorter period of time. And this should give us what we need so that nicely dissipates as, you know, the pressure of the water crushes it down. Okay, so this is looking really good, but we actually are going to do one more thing. That is create a new adjustment layer. And we're going to come over here to the effects and preset, and we're going to type in bulge. And this is a very simple effect. We bring it out. And with the name selected, we can actually create a circular bulge. And this works pretty simply. We're going to set the height to 0. We're going to set a keyframe at the beginning of the explosion. We're going to go forward to when it gets nice and large, and we'll turn the bulge height up. I'm going to be careful, not too much. And then we'll move forward and we'll bring it back down to 0. Can even maybe use like a negative number as it goes down just to really squeeze it together. Now this is kind of a small thing, but I'm actually going to reverse the rotation to negative 26 because I think the tendrils of the fire seem to be going that way a little bit more. So, or maybe I'm just crazy. Anyway, we've got this done, and this is like the key element for this particular scene. Everything else is pretty easy, so just wanted to take a little bit of time to make sure, you know, we explained all of those steps. Now, let's get on to the sub part. Okay, so we have this big ball of fire, this underwater explosion, and what this really tells you is you can really create anything that you need if you just have a little bit of an imagination and, you know, this Action Essentials kit with all the various elements. You can really combine them in interesting ways to achieve the results you're looking for. Don't just look at something and say, oh, well, that explosion is too big or too small, or that doesn't fit my particular shot. It's up to you to take those elements and manipulate them to work for your particular shot. All right, so when I started envisioning this scene and referencing, you know, real movies, submarine movies, I thought, okay, first thing we're going to need is a submarine. So I could probably model one, but it would take forever. So instead, I went to a marketplace online and found a submarine model that I paid for. So if you were working on a movie, you could probably buy a model or even hire a modeler to build something for you and texture it. So this is kind of the way things would probably work on an actual show. You'd find the assets, or someone would create the assets. And then once we get them, then we'll start creating the scene we want to create. So in 3D, I've brought in our sub model, which was very low quality textures. I was not too thrilled about that, but what are you going to do? So I couldn't get really close and do too many exciting things, but it should work good enough for this tutorial. So I brought it into 3D Studio Max, but I'm sure you can find models for every 3D program. I added a few lights, I animated the propellers, probably the wrong way. Some submarine captain's watching this thinking, that son of a Andrew Kramer. Anyway, so we've got that animated, we've got some lights, and we actually have a light right here, which is orange, and it actually animates on. So it actually animates so that it matches the timing of our explosion. And the reason for that is we actually want this to have a real lighting scenario rather than trying to fake it in After Effects. So this way we get you know, some more natural highlights and things going on that we probably wouldn't if we did it in After Effects. So anytime you can create that reactive lighting, you know, in 3D or in real life, the much better it's going to look later. I've got, you know, I'll just talk about a few things here. I don't think we need a tutorial, but I've got a light down here on the bottom that's blue, that's not very bright. And then we have a light on top that's white, that is pretty bright. So that just creates the effect of, you know, darkness down below and, you know, light coming up from above. So, sorry, I just like heard a sound in the back. I'm at my office and I thought somebody was coming in to get me. And it's funny because you're working late at night sometimes and you hear these sounds. I mean, come on, I know some tough guys out there, but let's be honest. When you hear a sound and it's late, you just hope it's the pizza guy. And not a pizza guy serial killer either. All right, moving on. This is the basic scene. Now, If we go over to After Effects, I've got the 3D rendered elements and we'll bring them out. So we've got the sub shot, drop that into a new comp. Nice. And then we have some depth charges, which are basically little particles that I've created. And by the way, if you go to videocopilot.net, you can check out the particle shadow tutorial or even the advanced time freeze tutorial. Shows you how to do a few different particle systems with referenced geometry or doing it in After Effects. So that'll probably give you the idea. Just kind of like a little bucket. A little bucket of death. Now we also have this other caustic pass, which if we bring that out, we'll set this to fit to comp. It's kind of like a watery surface is casting light onto the top of the submarine. It just gives it a little bit of underwater feel. And we'll set this to add. And just kind of looks nice. And the way I set that up was I duplicated my 3D scene, got rid of all the lights, and then added one new light. If I hit M, you can see I took a noise map and dropped it into the light setting. So when I select a light, we come down here to projection map, and you just take that map, drop it into the slot, and then it'll basically cast that shape down onto your object. So it works pretty nice. I just put a black material onto the sub that's not fully black so that you could actually see some of this. And I'm sure there's projection options in every light for every 3D program. So pretty straightforward. Now, the next thing we're going to do is create our background. So we'll choose layer, new, solid, and we'll hit OK. We'll choose effect, generate, ramp. And let's see here, we'll make this kind of a greenish blue color. And we'll make this like a dark blue. Something like that. Call this background, put that to the bottom there. Now, the other thing we need to do is probably color correct our sub so that it matches our scene a little bit. But let's adjust this a little bit here. Okay, so we'll take our sub and we'll choose effect, color correction, curves maybe, and we probably just need to go into the red channel, bring this down a bit. Not a lot of color underwater, but just kind of bringing the tones a little bit closer together so that it just looks a little bit more realistic. Also, we can add a curves adjustment to our ramp just to make it a little bit darker. So something like that looks pretty good. Then we'll take the same curve settings, copy them, and paste it into our depth charge layer. And maybe just darken it a little bit, not so bright. That way you know they're bad and they'll kill you. Okay, next thing we want to do is create these light rays that are going to be coming down, which are probably not even something you would really see, but it's what we expect when we're underwater, or rather when we're watching underwater movies. So we're going to add a noise effect, fractal noise, and that looks good. We're going to add a mask, let's see, a rectangular mask to the top. We'll hit F and feather it a bit. We're going to choose effect, radial blur, and we'll turn this amount up, and we're going to set this to a fading zoom, and we'll move the center point here, drag this up. Probably pretty high here. And we'll just turn the amount up so that we get a nice volumetric look. Now we may need to move the layer up higher and scale it up a bit. But to make it a little bit more contrasted, we can just turn up the contrast for the fractal noise. And that will give us the control we need. Turn up the complexity even. Maybe even just play with the evolution. We could animate this. Alt-click on the stopwatch. We could do time star 250. That might be too much, but, reduced to like 100. And this expression just makes things perpetually move over time. So as time increases, we're multiplying that times 100. So we just get a nice fluctuating animation. We'll set this to add or screen or something nice. Let's see, add. And maybe lower the opacity. So that looks pretty good. All right, so we have our stereotypical underwater scene, and we've got our light rays coming in. But what about the idea of objects in our scene blocking the light rays, or more specifically, creating shadows instead of light? So we have our sub, and we even have these charges that could potentially be blocking light. So what if we played around with that idea for a second? So let's take our submarine here, and let's duplicate it. And we'll take our layer, and we'll choose Effect, Color Correction, Tint, which is off the screen there, and we set it to black. And then let's take the radial blur, which we added to the fractal noise, and we'll copy it, and let's paste it to our black layer sub. So we'll choose Edit, Paste. So we bring everything up together. What we now see is these light rays or these radial blurs going, but it's almost like a shadow. So if we play around with this, kind of see what that does. So we can maybe blur it a little bit. And we could set it to like color burn or classic color burn, and maybe hit T and we could just lower the opacity a bit. But it does kind of bring up an interesting concept of actually having shadows created by our sub. And likewise, we could take our depth charge, duplicate it, take the tint and the radial blur, copy it, select our depth charges, and then paste it. So we have the little shadows coming down. Now for these, I might actually just bring the shadow amount a little bit lower since they're smaller, but this is really just, this is just an idea. I mean, this whole process has just been, experimenting and playing around with different concepts, not necessarily ones that you would use necessarily, but it's just been a lot of fun just tweaking the settings and just doing different things. So maybe one of them could have short rays and I could duplicate it and make another copy that had longer rays. Let's see. Anyway, we don't want it to be, too obvious that we're trying to create that effect, but and especially with the scattering of the light underwater, it probably wouldn't be this defined. But like I said, it's an interesting idea, and I've already done it. What are you going to do? We can't really go back in time, unfortunately. But it does look pretty good. And if we move forward here, we can see our explosion happening from the light. Okay, so if we scrub through here, we can find the explosion light that we created in 3D. So if we go right to where the light turns on, and we can make a little marker, hit star, and we'll come over here, we'll type in charge, and we should find our comp called charge that we just created, and we'll bring that out, and it's our explosion. We'll set the transfer mode to screen, and we basically want to put this in our scene, so we'll scale it down a little bit. It's got a nice rounding effect. I think this looks pretty nice. We could maybe turn the brightness up and maybe even the alpha channel up a little bit. All right, now let's work on some of the smaller details of this scene. So first, let's create an adjustment layer. And we'll put this right below the charge. And we're gonna take the bulge effect, bring that out, and we're gonna kind of make it a little bit larger than the explosion. So probably like that. And we want to basically animate this bulge to kind of create a fake looking shockwave almost in the water. So what we'll do is we'll animate the bulge height, set the keyframe there, hit U. Let's see, we'll go back here, we'll set this to 0, set a keyframe, we'll move forward here, about right there. And let's turn the height up. So it kind of displaces the background a little bit. And then we'll move forward and just bring it back down to zero. And we'll work on the timing as we go forward. So this will be the bulge. Good. All right, now another thing I want to create is some residual debris. So if we look at the finished example, we just have these little bits that are floating in the water, but they also kind of, they wobble around as if the water is, you know, moving around after that explosion, like it's rattled the water up a little bit. So the way we're going to do that is create a particle system. So we'll choose layer, new solid, and this will be our particles. And we'll choose effect, simulation, particle world. Now we'll set the grid to off. Let's see, we'll solo this. I'm going to set, set the velocity down to zero. And I want to increase the size of the producer. We'll also probably just move the producer over so that it looks like it's about where our explosion has taken place. So about right there looks good. We'll come down here to the particle settings. We want to do maybe a motion polygon, or rather a tripolygon. We'll set it to just black particles. And we're also going to go into the options, into the opacity map, and we're just going to set it to constant and hit OK. Now, I want to make the size a lot smaller, so we'll set the depth size to 0. And we'll set the start size, let's see, you know, to really, really small. And we'll turn up the size variation as well. We don't want people to see that they're triangles. So we want it to just look like bits of debris. So we'll turn that on. And we want these to be showing up essentially right after the explosion. So we'll put it below the charge. And maybe play with the size of this a bit. Kind of weird to use these settings, but it's okay. So trim the clip there, move over here. Now I want to make sure that these fall very, very slowly because it's in water. So we'll set the gravity to 0.05. So they just fall very slowly, and just tweak some of the settings here. Turn up the size. And then we also want to make sure that no new particles are being born. So right at the explosion time, we'll set the birth rate keyframe, move forward, and then set it to 0. So what that does is stops particles from being born after that point. So that's the basic gist. 0.02 maybe, they're really moving fast. And we'll set the life to about 3, 2. And if we go through, it's kind of a lot of particles. We might think about going to the earlier spot where it says 2 and set that to 1.5. And that'll just make less particles. So, you know, just play around with these settings. But the main thing I want to do is actually add this turbulent displacement. So we come down here into distort. And at the bottom, you'll see turbulent displace. And as we play with this, you can see it kind of undulates these particles. So we set the amount down a bit and the size down, we can animate the evolution. So we'll do alt click and we'll type time times, you know, 150. And so now these particles, maybe a little bit more than that, 200, and maybe turn up the amount a bit. Now these particles will start moving around as if they've been displaced by this explosion and the water is moving. So it's a very subtle effect, but hopefully you can see it in the QuickTime. What's actually going on there. So let's add a quick flash of light. Let me just preview this really quick so you can kind of see. So pretty subtle, and those particles are definitely falling a little too fast. So I have to do like 0.001. And that also gives it more of an effect. You can actually see that turbulent displacement. It's a little high, but you can just see them kind of wobble around. So that's really cool. We'll set the gravity to 0.004 maybe. Okay, looks pretty good actually. Finally, we want to add, not finally, it's probably like another 80 minutes. No, I don't know. Let's just add a quick light layer to just flash. Set this to add and probably create a quick mask around the main area. Feather it out a lot. And we want to, let's see, animate this according to our explosion. So I'll set the opacity to 0 and we'll slowly turn it up, flash it bright, and then I like to bring it down almost to about 20% and then fade that rest of the 20% out. So it creates like a big flash of light, but then you still have a nice glow because most of the energy goes in that initial, you know, first blast. And we also don't want it to fade in too much. We really want it to just pop on, you know, really bright, so that it really gives you that sense that something is really has a lot of energy. So that looks pretty good. Now, this is the main thing that I went through. Now, there's a few other fun things that you can do. One, you can create a new solid, and I would say play around with this plugin called Foam. And it creates a lot of different looking bubbles and things, which you can probably incorporate into the propellers. You can probably incorporate just randomly in the scene. Maybe we could go into the rendering, play around with the different bubble textures. There's a lot of different looks. And don't feel like you're stuck with red. You know, you can always color correct that, even change the transfer mode. You know, you got overlay, we could do add, you know, and we bring the size of these bubbles down, you know, it just gives it a little bit more of a natural look. I would slow down some of the physics just so that it's not so intense initially, but you know, you could have bubbles kind of escaping from the explosion. You could have bubbles just kind of floating around in the scene. Just be careful about scale. You don't want these bubbles to seem really large because then your ship will seem really, really small. So keep the bubbles down to a really small size, and that'll probably look best. Now for some of the final touches, you can take the comp, the sub composite that we're working in, drop it into a new comp, and we could add some camera shake. You know, we could do that with, I like to use an adjustment layer with a slider control, and we'll hit P, alt click on the position, actually hit E on the first layer, bring that slider control up, and then alt click on the position. We'll type wiggle, no caps, maybe 5, comma, and then take the pick whip and then drag it to that slider control, and then at the very end add another parentheses. So this is going to allow us to animate this random wiggle so that we can give it some camera shake. So we'll just move forward here to the explosion point. We'll keyframe the slider here, move forward, and set it to about 40, and then bring it back down to 0. And we'll turn the motion blur on for the layer and for the comp. And then why not add a little color correction? We could just add a curves adjustment. Let's check out that explosion. And you know, one thing about the camera shake is the edges get cut off. You can use a motion tile, or in this case, we're just gonna lower the resolution to maybe 1400. So basically our clip is a little bit larger than our comp, so we'll move it down here and just reframe it. Sometimes it's good to work at a higher resolution if you know you're going to be doing some camera shake later. So we'll take this top layer, color correction. We'll just give it some contrast here. you know, I don't want it to be too, you know, hyper real, because it is dark underwater, but you know, giving it a nice blue tone, the green, maybe just punch that up a little bit, and then darken the shadow. So there's a few different looks you can play with, and maybe even a touch of noise for some film grain. So maybe about 3%. So might look okay. All right, let's take a look, see where we're at. Okay. So I think that looks pretty good. You know, we're at tutorial speed here, so definitely play around and tweak the settings. You know, I know the second time I was doing this, it started looking a lot better as I kind of understood what I was trying to do. And remember, we're underwater, so be thinking about what things are doing underwater. They're moving slower, they're moving more randomly. One thing that I actually forgot to do, which helps, is the depth. You know, in water, it's thick, it's dirty, so we wouldn't necessarily see the front as clearly as the back. So what you can do is take the background, duplicate it, put it over all of your footage, and then in this case, we're just going to do a simple wipe where we cut off half of it, and then we hit F and we feather it. And then we can simply lower the opacity just a touch. But that creates that depth as it goes off into the distance. Now, if you want to do it more realistically, it's just render out a depth pass with your 3D, and that's a piece of cake. You just you know, invert it, and then you know, just set it to multiply or something like that, and you know, it could start looking pretty good. So just be thinking about little things like that. You know, this is just one of those things. I love submarine movies, and I wanted to do a tutorial. So we've done it. I hope you guys have had a good time. I hope you actually learned a few things, because I actually did. I mean, I've never done a submarine movie, and I never will, and nobody ever will make a submarine movie, but it was a lot of fun. So I am Andrew Kramer. Of course, check out the website. We've got a lot of cool tutorials. We've got our forum for sharing ideas, getting some help. Our blog, try to post new things that are happening, tips and tricks. Plus, we've got our great Video Copilot products. We've got sound effects products. We've got some great plugins, lens flares, and Evolution, Twitch, all that cool stuff. It's been a blast. I'm Andrew Kramer, and we'll see you next time.